This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
I want to start off by asking you a question. Have you ever felt like you really needed to just tell somebody something? And I don't mean like you wanted to tell them off. I mean like you felt like you needed to just tell them something. Like there was just this urge that you needed to tell them something. Hopefully it was something that was going to encourage them, you know, be a blessing to them. Let's flip that. Have you ever been on the receiving end of that where maybe somebody came up to you and they were like, hey, I don't know if this makes sense, but I just feel like I need to share this with you. Has anybody ever been on the receiving end? Maybe it confirmed something in your life. Maybe it was just a word that you needed in a hard season. It encouraged you. If you said yes to either one of those situations, I want you to remember that because we're going to come back to it in just a minute. Today's topic may be one that is kind of new to some of you. Maybe you've not really heard much about it while you've been in church. But our title today is A Gift for Others. One thing that my kids do not like is anytime their mom is wrapping a present, they find out it's not for them. That just kind of bums them out, right? Because they like presents. But I want you to know, we're going to talk about a gift today that's actually for somebody else. And before we get into it, I want you to understand about the first half of our teaching, we're going to build a foundation to get there. But I believe this is something that we really need to have some understanding about here at Church Live and the Church Universal, honestly. I want to say this morning. Every Christian has a mandate to be led by the Spirit of God. Every Christian has a mandate to be led by the Spirit of God. To not be led by the Holy Spirit, hear me this morning, is disobedience, so it's ultimately sin. Now, as the pastor of the church, as the shepherd of this flock, I want you to understand that I have a responsibility, according to Ephesians 4:11, to teach you, to equip you so that you can leave this place every week and do the work of the ministry in your community, at your job, at your school, whatever it is that you can take what you get here, it strengthens you and it allows you to do kingdom work outside of these doors. Come on, somebody say amen. That's my role here. And to be the most effective, you need to know what's available to you. Part of my role at times is stretching you in some areas. Sometimes it doesn't feel good to get stretched, but it's normally for our benefit. Scripture shows us that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force, but a person. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, he's a person. He's a person, and he was sent for our benefit. And Jesus told his disciples this in John 16:7. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage. You notice he said, it's to your advantage, guys, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, talking about the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him. Notice that he's a person. I will send him to you. Jesus didn't say, I'll send it. He said, I'll send him. He's a person. And so what he's doing is this, he's telling his boys, he says, listen, guys, I got to go. And you're probably all tore up about it. But I want you to understand, it's going to be just fine. It's to your advantage that I go away so that I can send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who is going to help you down the road. Amen? Yeah. And he said, listen, you're going to be fine. Now, as a church, we have a belief, if you were to look at our list of beliefs, and one of them is this, is that we believe the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate and available experience for every Christian after salvation. Okay, we believe this right here. In case you're new to the church, maybe you haven't gone through Starting Point yet, if you're curious what all our beliefs are, y'all check out that link right there because it shows them all, right? But let's talk about that experience after salvation. Jesus says this in Acts 1 to his disciples who obviously knew who he was. They obviously knew that he was the Messiah. So you can say they were obviously believers. Acts 1:8, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. He knew that his disciples were going to need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to accomplish what he had planned for them. Amen. You see, those guys ultimately turned the earth upside down, right? I mean, after Jesus ascended, Holy Ghost hit Pentecost, and then all of a sudden it was on, man. I mean, that was the birth of the church. Great things happened, but it was the power of the Holy Spirit that enabled them to do what he wanted them to do. And here's some verses that show that the Holy Spirit filled others who were already believers. For instance, Acts 2, 1 through 4 is the day of Pentecost. You've got 120 believers gathered together. The Holy Spirit hits the scene. Acts 8, 12 through 17, you've got Philip, who actually was a deacon in the church. It says that he was ministering to people who were believers, and it says the Holy Spirit had yet to come upon them. Go to Acts 19, Paul's ministering to some people, and he asked them this. He said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "We've never even heard of this Holy Spirit that you speak of." Then it says that Paul laid hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit. So we see that the infilling happened after salvation. Another thought for you. Y'all remember whenever Jesus was baptized, it says at that moment, a couple of things happened. First of all, the Lord spoke. He said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." Y'all remember that, right? But it also says that the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in bodily form as a dove. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. As soon as he was baptized, he left the water, and he actually headed to the wilderness for 40 days, where he was tempted by Satan like we have never been tempted before in all of our life. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that got him through that 40 hard days. Do you hear me? The power of the Holy Spirit that got him through those hard 40 days. Now, another thought for you is this, is that Jesus never did one miracle until after the Holy Spirit came upon him. What was his first miracle? Water to wine, right? It happened after he was baptized and after the Holy Spirit came upon him. So here's a question I got for you today. If Jesus needed the person of the Holy Spirit while he was on earth, how much more do you and I need the person of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives? I mean, can we just look at the world that we're living in? Don't we need the Holy? You need the Holy Spirit just to get in and out of Walmart without losing your salvation. Come on, somebody. And it's funny, some of y'all are nodding like, "Brother, you ain't even lying right now." I mean, that's a struggle apparently for some of you. But yeah, we need the person of the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, in no particular order, I listed out some benefits, if you will, of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And again, we're just setting up where we're going today. For instance, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I believe there's a deeper, more immediate sense of God's presence in your life. I believe you have power to live boldly and to share your faith, that your inside is transformed. Come on, somebody. It changes the inside of you, that there's greater understanding whenever you read the Word. I believe you'll have a greater passion for prayer and worship. You'll have strength in spiritual battles. You'll have fresh purpose and direction in your life. And then there's also spiritual gifts that help to build others up as well. The baptism in the Holy Spirit takes your walk with the Lord to a completely different level is what it does. It takes it to a completely different level. And a lot of people, they pray a prayer and they are living the same way that they were the day that they prayed that prayer. There's not been a real change in their life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that will absolutely turn your world upside down and completely change the inside of you. You see, a lot of people, they're struggling with the same old things that they struggled with before they ever asked the Lord into their life. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit that allows them to defeat and get the enemy and get over those addictions and get over those things that they fought with in the past. Amen? He's here to be our helper. Scripture will show us that he's our friend. But most importantly, you need to understand he's also God. He's also God. Now, let's talk about that just for a minute. Over the years, I've heard some people make very foolish statements about the person of the Holy Spirit. They'll often say, you know, he's just weird. You know, it's not like he's Cousin Eddie from the Vacation movies, okay? I mean, a lot of times people see the Holy Spirit as that weird relative. First of all, he's a person, but you've got to understand he's God. This statement may catch some of you off guard. He is as much God, as much part of the Trinity as Jesus Christ is. And so anytime you've made a negative statement about the Holy Spirit, understand you have insulted God Almighty himself. They are one. They are three in one. Amen? But I mentioned those gifts just a second ago, the last thing on that list, and let's talk about that just for a minute, because Paul, the Apostle Paul, who we would say is the greatest apostle, he spoke a lot about gifts, spiritual gifts, and he's actually said this in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." In other words, he's saying, you need to be educated on spiritual gifts, everybody. Two chapters later, verse 1 of chapter 14, and we're going to hang out here a lot today. He says, pursue love and earnestly desire what? Spiritual gifts. He's talking to the church, and so this applies to us. Earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Whenever it comes to spiritual gifts, you'll see them normally broken down in three different categories. What you have, first of all, is the motivational gifts. These are found in Romans 12. 2 weeks ago, as we were wrapping up our last series, we got into gifts kind of towards that last part of that teaching. I don't know if you remember, there were some of the gifts like mercy, some of the gifts like serving, and I said some of these will come natural to you, and these are gifts that help you walk out the calling that God has for you. I don't know if you remember that, but that's those motivational gifts. Then there's the ministry gifts found in Ephesians 4, and I mentioned that just a minute ago, my role as the pastor. The ministry gifts, also known as the gifts of Jesus, that's basically five offices in the local church that are there to equip the body of Christ, pastor, teacher, apostle, prophet, evangelist, and so that's those five offices. Just as a heads up, this does not mean that everybody is one of these five. A lot of folks believe that this is about 5% of the body of Christ have one of these offices that they're called to. So then you have those ministry gifts, and then you have the manifestational gifts found in 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to talk about one of those in particular today, but in these gifts, you've got like the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, miracles, healings, but then one, like I said, that we're going to focus on today, and that is prophecy. And the crowd went wild. All right, let's try that again. We're going to talk about prophecy today. All right, it's a little bit better. Are y'all ready to go today? Amen. We're going to see what the word says about it. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, list out these manifestational gifts. Verse 11, the following verse after Paul lists these out, he says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and he, the Holy Spirit, distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, whenever we read each one right there, that means all of us, okay? That means all of us. We don't have one of these gifts. It's not like, well, my gift is miracles. That's not the way it works. The Holy Spirit has them all. Somebody say he has them all. And he distributes to each one of us as he sees fit for the profit or the benefit of the body of Christ, for the benefit of all. He enables us to walk in one of these gifts as he sees fit. So for instance, if Torinda here is talking with someone at work and she finds out that they've got a diagnosis and they're dealing with a sickness or something like that, the Holy Spirit may instantly just push her, pray for this person right now because I'm ready to move in their life. I'm ready to move in their life. And so at that point, the Holy Spirit saying, Torinda, I want to use you and I'm going to empower you with this gift so that this person can see my goodness in their life. Does that make sense? Or maybe Elder Curley is talking with someone and they're talking about something that they're going through, just a hard situation. Anybody ever walked through a hard situation and you didn't really know what to do next? Anybody ever been there? Well, they're talking to Elder Curley and then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just drops into him what we would call a word of wisdom, one of these gifts, which is the perfect solution to that situation that the person's going through. Okay? Let's understand why these gifts are important. Because they've got an issue. God's got a solution. They're not hearing from God. So God wants to use you to be the conduit to get it to them. Y'all see how that works? And so God wants to use you as he sees fit with these gifts from time to time. There's been times whenever the Lord says, Gene, pray for this person. I've prayed for them. They've been healed. There's been times where the Lord said, okay, tell this person this. And it was a word of wisdom. It's not that I'm a person who only works in the gift of healing or this, that, and the other. It's whenever the Lord says it and he sees fit. And it's the same way for you as well. Amen? it's the same way for you as well. But I want you to understand, none of these gifts are going to be forced upon you. Just because you're a Christian, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're going to walk around giving prophetic words or giving this or that. No, you've got to have a desire. You've got to have a desire. I mean, if you have no desire to be a blessing, if you have no desire and you're like, well, they can just suffer, right? They can just suffer. I mean, if that's you, then bless your heart. But the Lord wants to use you. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. And I just want to say this. I love being a blessing to people. Somebody else want to be a blessing to people? He wants to use you, but he's not going to force you to do it. Whenever you study the word related to these spiritual gifts, you're going to see that Paul really spotlights prophecy. He talks about it more than any of the other gifts. And whenever we think about prophecy today, because I know some of you, you're thinking, I've seen some stuff on YouTube, prophecy's out there. Hold on. Just hold on. Whenever we look at Scripture, we've got to understand that there's a reason that Paul pushes it so much. I also want to mention this. In chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, tongues and prophecy, he really hammers down on. And those have been the two most controversial topics in the body of Christ that have actually pitted believer against believer before. And I think the enemy has had a good time just crossing his arms and laughing while we act like fools arguing with each other. So why don't we go back to the Word of God and see what it says about this, rather than some people having their opinions, well, this is what I was taught, it's not of God, or whatever. Can we go to the Scripture today? Are y'all okay with that? Can y'all tell I get a little bit passionate about this stuff? All right, let's go there today. 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. I gave y'all this just a minute ago. That was the first half of that verse. The second half is this, but especially that you may, what? Prophesy. Paul says, this is what you really need to go after. Prophesy. He made it clear through multiple scriptures that we need to eagerly desire it. Like, for instance, verse 39 of chapter 14. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Verse 5 of the same chapter. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets. Why? So that the church may be edified. So that the church may be edified. Edified there means to strengthen. Edified there means to build up. That's for the church as a whole, but for us also who are part of the church. Verse 3 of chapter 14. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. Strengthens, encourages, comforts. Doesn't that seem like a good thing? How many of y'all want to be strengthened? How many of y'all want to be encouraged? Anybody want to be comforted? Amen? So I got 3 points for you today about prophecy based on these last three verses. Our first point is this, is that prophecy strengthens believers and the church. It strengthens believers and the church. New Testament prophecy has one primary assignment according to verse 3, what we just read, to strengthen, to encourage, and to comfort. That's New Testament prophecy, to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. In other words, it builds up. Prophecy stirs up, and it lifts up. I want you to understand it's not for entertainment. It's not spooky. It's not dramatic. It's not to look like a hot shot, like you're so ultra in tune with God. It's for others. It's not for the benefit of one person, the one doing it. No. It's for the benefit of others. But it's encouragement from the Lord. And let me just tell you just some things here that prophetic words can do for people. First of all, it can strengthen those who are weary. Prophetic words can strengthen weary people. It can bring supernatural clarity. It can remind people that God sees them and cares for them. It can bring direction to individuals, to families, to churches, and situations as well. And it can encourage those who are in a difficult season also. Has anybody ever walked through a difficult season before? I asked you earlier. Let me just tell you about a season we walked through. In 2007, we were married, but going into our marriage in January of 2007, our family came under attack. there was an accusation about our family. Somebody was going after my dad in particular. It affected this whole church. Some of y'all long-timers here, you know the situation. You remember it. You remember us battling through it as a church. From January to November of 2007, life stunk. I'm just going to be honest with you. We lost people in the church. We had a staff member that believed a lie, that tried to split the church. It was not pleasant times around here. Now, this is my first year of marriage, and honestly, it kind of ticks me off that this happened my first year of marriage, because have you ever felt like someone didn't have all of you? I felt like 80% of the real estate in my mind was always thinking about that situation, and Regina only got a fraction of it. Does that make sense? I mean, it consumed my first year of marriage. But praise God, come November, it was over with. But during that time, we had some neighbors who were inviting us to come to some revival services at the church, and in all honesty, I didn't want to go. You ever been there before? You want to stay at the house, right? And they said, come on, please go with us. And so we went, and it was a great service. The speaker was a guy by the name of Ron Phillips, a Southern Baptist, Holy Ghost-filled dude out of Tennessee who's incredible. I had never heard of this guy, have never honestly heard him speak since then. I looked him up a little bit online afterwards. But here's just how good God is, where it says encourages those in difficult seasons. Okay, let's think about that. We were in a difficult season. We were confused. We didn't know what to think. But this guy, Ron Phillips, walks up to me because I go down front for prayer, and he looked at me, not knowing me from Adam. And he said, you're worried about your dad, aren't you? How did this cat from Tennessee know anything about my dad and what we were walking through? And he said, listen to me. The Lord says, this will not be the end of him. This will not be the end of your family. He's bringing you through this situation. Do you want to know how bad I needed to hear that word? Because you see, there's times whenever we're walking through things and there's so much noise from the world around us, and there's noise from the enemy getting in our ear, that we're having a hard time hearing from God. But God will give someone a word for us because we can't hear it. And thank God that there are obedient people who will speak that word into our life, a word that we so desperately need. Let me tell you something. It wrecked me. It wrecked me. It gave me hope. I went home. I called Dad. I said, dude, check this guy out online. I don't know who he is. I said, but he just spoke to our situation. And sure enough, God brought us through that situation. It's such an important gift whenever you're willing to be obedient and to be used by God. Amen? But whenever someone receives a prophetic word, what it does is it reveals that God knows me. It reveals that God cares about me and that God's concerned about me. It makes God personal to people. And Paul says that the entire church benefits whenever this gift flows. Prophetic words, even really super simple ones, they can open the hearts of unbelievers and let them realize that the presence of God is a real thing. Let them realize that God cares about them even whenever they feel so, so low. That God truly cares for them. That he cares for them. But we've got to be willing to be used. And again, I think this is why Paul emphasized this gift so much more than the others. Our second thing today is this, is that we all can be used to give prophetic words. Now, this is where a lot of believers get stuck, because some think that prophecy is just for the spiritual elites, for prophets, or for people that are just super deep, spiritually speaking. Biblically, it's available to every spirit-filled believer, and we see this in verse 31 of chapter 14. It says, for you can all, come on, somebody say all, you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn, and what? Be encouraged, so that you can be encouraged. You can prophesy if you can hear the Lord's voice. And according to Jesus in John 10, it says, my sheep hear my voice, right? Amen. And then think about this. In the last days, the prophet Joel spoke this. Peter said it on the day of Pentecost. He says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters, and they'll prophesy as well. Ladies, I just wanted to tell you, the Lord wants to speak through you as well. Amen? Amen. The Lord wants to speak through you as well. powerful gift, though. You don't have to necessarily understand every word of the Bible. You don't have to have a theology degree. You just got to be willing to be used. You just got to hear what God's wanting to say. But back to my opening question. Y'all remember I opened with a question just a little while ago. I asked you, have you ever had this feeling that you just really needed to share something with somebody? Like, okay, I just really got to tell them this. You just felt like, okay, until I tell them, I'm just not going to have this feeling released. And has anybody ever experienced that before? Well, congratulations, that was you moving in the prophetic. All right, because that was the Holy Spirit saying, you need to do this. And so congratulations, that was you moving in the prophetic. And God sometimes may just give you something really simple for somebody. But be obedient to share it. Maybe it's just a Bible verse. Maybe somebody's going through something instantly. The Holy Spirit just drops something in you. Tell them that I've not given them a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. They need to remember that that fear doesn't come from me. They need to remember that fear comes from the enemy. Tell them that I've given them a sound mind. You see how easy that is? It doesn't have to be, thus saith the Lord. You don't have to wear a cheap three-piece suit to be able to give a prophetic word. You hear me? Anybody can do it. 1 Corinthians 13:9 says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. There's going to be times whenever the Holy Spirit just is going to give us a little bit, just a little fraction. I mean, just like a little piece of, just a bite of food. And he's just going to say, give this to him. It doesn't make sense to us, but he knows what it's all about. And it's going to mean something to the person. It's going to mean something to the person. And the more you step out in faith with this gift, the clearer things are going to become. And then the more comfortable you're going to be with sharing with others, and it's going to become easier and easier. And it's truly not difficult because here's the thing, you're not doing it. You're not the one doing it. You're the messenger. He's the source. Amen. But I want to just pause for a minute and just say this, but we are not to be careless with this either. We don't just go around blabbing things that sound good. We don't go around just saying, well, you know, this is what the Lord says, and just because it's something clever that came to you. We're not to be careless with this. If the Lord gives you something, then share it. If he doesn't give you anything, hush. But you can always just pray with them, amen? You can always just pray the heart of God over their situation. A little while back, I was in a pastor's gathering, and there were some guys that just had some really strong things to say. And I was asking the Holy Spirit, all right, I'm pretty sure they're about to call on me in a minute. You got anything for me? Radio silence. And then, sure enough, Brother Gene, you got anything? And I just simply said, I don't. I wasn't about to concoct something. Right? I wasn't going to put God's stamp on something that wasn't from him. So if the Lord gives you something, say it. But don't just make it up. Amen. We don't need to be careless with this. We need to be hearing from him. But whenever we step out, you may say, oh, I'm not so sure about this, but I really feel like this is God. I want you to know he has all the grace in the world for people who are trying to learn and obey him. He's so full of grace. Amen. So how do we know if a word that we feel like we have for somebody, how do we know if it's from God? Well, here's kind of some filters I want us to think about. And by the way, these will apply to words that you receive as well. My mother, a lot of y'all knew my mom, just one of the greatest ladies on the planet. Mom was a funny rascal as well. But in the early 80s, they had recently been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we were part of a church, actually in Laurel. It was a startup. We lived in Laurel for a little while, and so we had connected with this church. And there was a pastor out of Jackson who's recently retired, a great man of God. So I'm not knocking him by any means. But he had come and he had spoken down at the church. And out of nowhere, he calls Mom out of the crowd, and he says, I feel like I've got a word from the Lord for you. And he brought her up front, and he said, the Lord says that he's going to use you, and you're going to have a singing ministry. There's just one problem with that. Mom can't sing. Well, you know, I mean, we can all sing, right? Some of us need to try out for American Idol, and some of us need to leave it in the shower, don't we? And so, you know, Mom held on to that word forever. And I remember at one point we were talking to a pastor who really was the Lord used in the prophetic a good bit, and was almost scary how accurate this guy was at times. And he said, Ann, there's times where you may receive a word from the Lord and it doesn't really bear witness. He said, just put it on a shelf. Just put it on a shelf. If it's something that God has for you down the road, great. But if not, it's okay. You know. So let's talk about some filters, whether you're given a word or whether you're receiving a word. First of all, does it agree with Scripture? God will never, never, never contradict His word. He'll never contradict His word. Does it carry the love of God? Even correction from God carries hope and not humiliation. And not humiliation. Does it bring clarity? Because God is not the author of confusion, right? We know who the author of confusion is. Does it point to Jesus Christ? It better. Does it strengthen? Does it encourage? Or does it comfort? Again, New Testament, New Covenant prophecy is all about strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. If the word shames, if it condemns, if it discourages, I want you to know it's not New Covenant prophecy. Amen? And you probably just know that it's not from God. Does it align with God's heart? Hear me, God wants to be heard. He wants to reveal answers. He wants to guide people. He wants to show what is Him and what's not Him. True prophecy always reflects His nature. Always reflects His nature. So you got those filters? All right, number three. Prophecy requires stepping out in faith. Requires stepping out in faith. Not feelings. Come on, somebody say it. Faith. Stepping out to give someone a word that you feel is from God is going to be a little intimidating the first time or two or three or four or five. It is. It is. But understand, just be obedient, and the Holy Ghost will bail you out every time. Every time. And He may just give you just a little bit. And maybe it's a very short word. Maybe, like I said, it's just Scripture or something like that. But then again, He may give you just a sentence. And as soon as you give that, then all of a sudden He just starts downloading more and more and more and more. And it may go on for a minute. We were talking with Elizabeth Tadlock yesterday, and Regina had asked her, because she spoke at Beauty for Ashes a little while back. And Elizabeth, correct me if I'm wrong, you basically said that after you were done speaking, you were kind of like, I don't know where that came from because it wasn't me. You see, she was obedient to open her mouth because the Lord said, speak. Go there and speak. And understand this. Whenever you're obedient to do what He says, He will give you the words. Amen? And that was the Holy Spirit operating through her. It wasn't her doing it. It was the Holy Spirit bailing her out, as we like to say. Amen? And He's just so good. But if we desire to prophesy, as Paul said we need to, just a few thoughts for you today. We've got to spend time with the Lord. Hear me, we've got to spend time with the Lord. You know, we've got to know God's heart, and we know His heart by reading His love letter to us, right? By reading His love letter to us. We've got to spend time talking with Him. We've got to spend time in prayer, because here's the thing. We've got to be at that place to where we know what is and is not His voice. We've got to be able to tell the difference between our thoughts, His voice, and the enemy's voice. And you don't need to just hear His voice for the reason of being able to give people words. You need to be able to hear His voice for your day-to-day life. Okay? Because you need direction. And so you need to spend time with Him so that you can hear His voice even for your day-to-day life. But then again, as you become familiar with His voice, then you'll be confident to be able to use this gift with others down the road. You need to ask the Holy Spirit for boldness. Like, Holy Spirit, give me the boldness to be able to do this. Because, again, don't we want to be blessings to people? No, let's try that again. Don't you want to be a blessing to other believers, to the body of Christ? Come on, somebody. Ask Him for boldness. And maybe you're in settings like your life group or some other ministry setting, or maybe even at work or something like that, and you hear someone sharing something that's going on in their life, and you just, your heart's hurting for them. Ask the Holy Spirit, say, what is it that you would have for me to say to them? Because He may have some words that they so desperately need to hear. Here's the thing, they may not have a relationship with Him, but He's seen every tear that they've ever cried. And He so desires to have a relationship with them. And He wants them to know how much they're loved and how much they're cared for. And so whenever they're sharing what they're going through, and then he drops this in your spirit and says, hey, I got this for them. And you just simply say, so-and-so, this is what I feel like I need to tell you. You'll normally see them look at you like, holy moly. And you just say, this is what the Lord says. Or maybe it's somebody who already knows the Lord, but because of their situation, they're just not able to hear from God right now because of all the noise that's going on. But then the Lord wants to use you to bring comfort. The Lord wants to use you to strengthen. The Lord wants to use you to encourage. But are you going to be willing to do it? He wants to use you. Come on, tell your neighbor, he wants to use you. So ask him for boldness. Ask him, Lord, what do you want me to say? And if he doesn't give you anything, then just pray for him. Pray the heart of the Father over their situation. What's the heart of the Father, Pastor Gene? Glad you asked. If they've got relationship issues, I want you to understand the heart of God is always for restoration and relationship issues. If they've got sickness in their body, the heart of God is always for healing because he took stripes for their healing. Do you hear me? So you just literally pray the heart of God for their situation. And I want you to know this, is that you just need to trust God. Trust God with what he gives you. Step out. And it's going to be a blessing to somebody. Remember that our first response is to listen to what he has to say. Listen to what he has to say. Then secondly, we have to believe that he wants to speak through us. And then thirdly, we just obey and we share what he's given. And we're going to see blessing in other people's lives. Amen. We'll see blessing in their lives. Not desiring to walk in this gift, I'm going to be honest with you, it means that people in your life are going to miss receiving a blessing. God wants to use every one of us. He wants to use every one of us to be a blessing, to be able to speak into other people's lives, to be able to encourage them, again, strengthen them, and comfort them.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amason. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.